Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 18th. This Saturday, our guest this hour will be meeting with judges in Brown County, Fond du Lac County, and Sheboygan County to tell them what he has accomplished in Lenawee County, Michigan. He organized judges and other officials who can conduct marriage ceremonies to require premarital counseling of couples before they tie the knot. Should some sort of premarital counseling be required before marriage? Would this reduce the divorce rate? Is it one thing for a church to require this, but another for, say, a judge performing a civil ceremony? A Wisconsin group called Foundation for a Great Marriage invited Judge James Sheridan to Wisconsin this weekend, and he is our guest this hour. We will talk about what he did in Michigan and wonder if the same thing should happen here in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Well, let me welcome our guest. Judge James Sheridan is Chief Judge of the Two-Way District Court in Lenawee County, Michigan. He is also Chair of Michigan's Marriage Savers Organization and Chair of Marriages That Work in Lenawee County, part of Michigan's Healthy Marriage Coalition. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning. Oops, I had the wrong button on. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us. Tell us what you did exactly in Lenawee County, Michigan, to try to reduce the divorce rate.
Well, the primary thing was to help organize a community marriage policy. This is not a law. It's simply a policy locally to encourage people to get what you might call some premarital education. Actually, I heard your introduction. This is actually not counseling. This is education.
What's the difference?
Well, that's an excellent question. Education teaches skills, the ability to, and information. For example, education, you can teach somebody how to fix a flat tire. Counseling is where you get Martha and George in and say, well, Martha, how do you feel about this? And and you teach skills, but it's within a counseling session where you're trying to get the couple to work out a problem. Premarital education, you're trying to teach people how the skills to avoid problems in the first place.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about this community policy then.
There's actually two sections of it. One of them is for churches because obviously faith-based organizations have one set of things they can do, and the other is really for the secular group. Churches obviously get into all sorts of faith-based issues, the Bible, for example. As far as judges are concerned, we don't get into that at all. What we're interested in is really asking the couples to do three things. One of them is to get some skills in communication. The second one is get skills in what you might call conflict resolution. And the third is to take what's called a premarital inventory. Now, the reason that we do that is that these are all issues that have nothing whatsoever to do with religion. Are you married, by the way, Joy?
Yes, I am. 21 years this month.
Whoa, well, very good. Congratulations. I know that you and your husband have never had an argument about anything.
Well, you know what? We haven't had many, but
no.
We...
let's face it, though. If you're arguing about wet towels on the bathroom floor, that's not a religious issue.
Right.
That is an issue that lots of couples have. Arguing about what your finances. Let's face it, that's a biggie. That's not a religious issue though. Arguing about whether or not you're using too much discipline or too little discipline to take care of Johnny or Mary. Those are not religious issues. But it's really helpful if the couple has some skill training on both communication and conflict resolution so that when they go into their marriage, they can start working these things out and in a very healthy way. Now, those are the two skills that we're after. A premarital inventory is really, it's not a compatibility test. It's a series of questions, and most of them, there's two or three of them out there that are very, very good. One of them was Prepare, that was developed by Dr. David Olson over in Minnesota. Another one is Focus, that's used primarily by the Catholic Church, but there's a secular version of it. The third one is called Zoe, that's used primarily on the Internet. But the what it amounts to is that an inventory is a series of questions to find out how your relationship is doing right now. In other words, where are your strong points? Where are your points where you could use some growth and strengthening? Where are your problem areas? Where are your strong areas? Why don't we let the couples know exactly where they are, so that when they do you remember back about 22 years ago when you were dating your husband?
Yeah.
I don't know if you were like my wife and I, Sharon and I, but you sort of have a little bit of a rose-colored glasses type of a thing. And what it amounts to, the advantage of an inventory is it takes the rose-colored glasses off and actually forces you to look at the person you're about to marry.
Let me hold you there, Judge. We have to take a short break for a weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking about what Judge James Sheridan, a district court judge from Lenawee County, Michigan, the efforts that he led in Michigan to try to reduce the divorce rate. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Thursday, January the 18th. It's about 18 minutes now past 6 o'clock. We are talking with a judge this hour who organized an effort in a county in Michigan to require couples that get married to go through premarital classes or education. He has now been invited to Wisconsin to encourage a similar effort here. A Wisconsin group, the Foundation for a Great Marriage, has invited Judge James Sheridan to talk with some other judges in Wisconsin this weekend about what he did in his county to try to reduce the divorce rate. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. He will be meeting with Brown County judges at Lambeau Field, of all places, it says here, and then we'll be meeting with Fond du Lac and Sheboygan County judges in Sheboygan Falls later on Saturday afternoon. There will be a similar effort later this year in Milwaukee and Dane counties. What I want to know, Judge Sheridan, is what are you planning on telling the judges you meet with this weekend?
That's a good question. There's a couple of things. One of them is that to get across the basic idea that marriage as public policy is a very important thing that needs to be addressed. Marriage itself is a profoundly private institution. I don't know about you, but I do not want there to be the bedroom police.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, but no thanks. Government can keep their nose out of my private business. When Sharon and I close the bedroom door, and thank you very much.
Right, but you think that judges, as a part of that government, should not marry someone if they don't show that they've gone through this marriage education?
This is where it gets to be an interesting dance, mm-hmm. you might say. While it's a profoundly private institution, its success and failure have incredible public effect. Mm-hmm. Government, we have a tendency to say the government should never be involved in marriage. However, the reality is that the government is involved in marriage. And always has been, mm-hmm. As long as I can remember. As a matter of fact, if you look in your history books, Caesar Augustus was making speeches to the Roman Senate 2,000 years ago on the issue of marriage. This is not new that marriage is important as a foundational institution in any society. What it amounts to is the question of how and to what extent it's appropriate for government to be involved. If there's a breakdown in the marriage, let's face it, government is heavily involved in the divorce process to the point of being able to determine who gets the house, who gets the children, visitation rights, issues of child support. Even retirement funds can be broken up based on what the judge can do. So the courts are heavily involved in marriage already. It's the government that issues the marriage license. It's a government that can determine tax breaks based on your marital status. What it amounts to is this, is to what extent is it appropriate for government to be involved? And might I suggest that, as with any other issue, having government at least encourage the use of educational tools has always been considered appropriate.
Yeah, and tell me how the sort of the nuts and bolts, the practicality of this, how it works in your area. You say it's a community policy. It's not a law, so to speak, on the books.
Right, exactly. What it amounts to is this, is that there are people that have chosen to do marriages anyway without people going through this process. And that's their choice. It's not a law. However, about 60 of the local ministers, and it turns out that all the 11 people that are authorized to do weddings here in Lenawee County, 13 people for civil weddings, 5 judges, 4 magistrates, and 4 mayors, have signed on to this policy. And what the policy, like I say, basically says is this, is that you can get married, and that's fine. It's just that if we are going to be using public authority to do the wedding, we just want to make sure that you have a clue as to where you're going and that you have some basic skills to get there.
Yeah, and so what is the clue that I have to show if I want to have one of these judges that's agreed to this marry me?
Basically, it's a letter from any one of a number of people that we know that are capable of doing this, have taught communication skills, conflict resolution skills, and that you've gone through the inventory. As soon as you do that, you're golden.
Yeah. So you put this into place, this community policy, back in the late 90s. Is that right?
Correct. It's been about 10 years. Yeah, exactly.
So what's been the result so far? Any evidence of this helping reduce the divorce rate?
Well, it's very interesting. The answer is a definite yes, I think. we have a problem in Lenawee County in the sense that we are a border county with the state of Ohio.
Well, that's always a problem.
And the problem is this, is not only do we have the annual confrontation between the University of Michigan and Ohio mm-hmm. State in football, but they have the very different rules as far as getting married. For example, Michigan is a 3-day waiting period between the time you get your license and the time you can actually get married. Ohio has none. So what happens a lot of times is people go down from Adrian down to Toledo, Ohio, to get married, and then guess where they get their divorce?
Oh, they do come to Lenawee.
Yeah, they just stay home. So we get the divorce statistic, and Toledo gets the marriage statistic. Mm-hmm. We did a survey, though, of couples. We got a federal grant a year ago and did a rather extensive telephone survey. And based on that, where we actually asked couples that got married in Lenawee County how they're doing and what they saw of the premarital education. And from that, my impression is that it's been wildly successful. You want to know what's interesting, and probably the most interesting thing to come out of that, you want to know the biggest single complaint of couples that have gone through the premarital education?
What?
It's that they didn't get enough.
Hmm. Do I have to pay for this education?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. However, obviously, church groups tend to do it for free. Mm-hmm. The couples that do it in a secular setting have to pay for it. However, one of the organizations that does it locally is a United Way funded, and so they are on a sliding scale, in other words, ability to pay basis. It's interesting. When we first got this started, one of the complaints was, well, what if people can't afford this?
Mm-hmm.
That turned out to be a massive red herring. for a variety of reasons. One of them is that, first of all, if you went to Family Counseling and Children's Services of Lenawee County, they did it on a sliding scale based on your ability to pay, so the charge was really extremely nominal. The second problem, of course, is that even in courthouse weddings, people spend $100 to get married. By the time you pay for the marriage license, you pay for a trip down to Red Lobster for lunch, you know, you get yourself a instant camera to take pictures with, and, you know, you buy a little corsage and things of that nature, which is very, very typical. You've gone through about $100, and that's the cheapest you know I've ever seen, just about. What it amounts to is that the cost of the premarital lead is far less than that. If you can't afford that, you know, what are you doing getting married? However, even giving that, one of the things that we ran into here locally was that we said, okay, there may be somebody that legitimately can't afford. What we did was we deposited with the local group enough money to cover anybody that couldn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Nobody used it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You thought, what gave you this idea to begin with, that this would be a way to try to promote stronger marriages and reduce the divorce rate?
Well, there are two or three things that happened all at once, and let me give you the sequence. One of them was I ran into an article by Dr. Linda Wade at the University of Chicago. And one of the things that she pointed out was that it's an article in Demography Magazine. Now, you may have thrown out your copy of Demography.
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, let me remind you then. This is an article that had a series of graphs and charts and studies about the effect of divorce on married couples, you know, and what happened. And one of the charts that just absolutely blew my mind was that when people that go from married to divorced, the number of alcohol-related problems double for men and just about triple for women. Now, women tend to have far fewer problems, but they still go up radically. Men, they double. And if I had a dollar for every drunk driving case that I've handled, the defense attorney comes in and says, "Oh, judge, you know, my client's going through this terrible divorce, and you know," and then tells me the rest of the story, or something to do with divorce. Linda Waite, a woman by the name of Maggie Gallagher, wrote a book called "The Case for Marriage," which outlines the evidence on this. And what you find is that as individuals approach marriage, the amount of alcohol consumption and drug consumption, by the way, tends to fall off drastically during the year leading up to marriage. During the marriage, the alcohol consumption and drug use tends to stay low. As you leave marriage and a divorce, it tends to go up again. What it amounts to is that drug and alcohol abuse tend to be my caseload. If you start looking at such things as poverty rates are substantially higher for individuals who are single and children. It's not just in the United States. Canada did a major study a number of years ago where they found the same thing. They were wondering why there's been a radical increase in poverty for women and children over the last 30, 40 years. What they found is it was directly related to the increase in divorces. England just did the same study. Guess what they found? Same thing. What it amounts to is that one of the foundational problems that we're having as far as poverty is concerned is the breakdown of marriage. Now, don't get me wrong. You could save every marriage in the world. You're still going to have poverty.
Right. And I need to jump in right now because we have news from National Public Radio coming up right now, and then we'll continue talking. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up now on 6:36 on this Thursday, January the 18th. We're talking this hour with Judge James Sheridan. He's Chief Judge of the Two-Way District Court in Lenawee County, Michigan. He is Chair of Michigan's Marriage Savers Organization and Chair of Marriages That Work in Lenawee County, Michigan, part of Michigan's Healthy Marriage Coalition. He has been invited to Wisconsin to meet with some Wisconsin judges. He has been invited by a Wisconsin group called Foundation for a Great Marriage, which is a grassroots nonprofit organization that wants to promote healthy marriages, reduce the divorce rate, and reduce the negative effect that divorce has on children and the workplace and the economy. They want Judge Sheridan to tell judges this weekend in Brown County, Fond du Lac County, and Sheboygan County about what he did in Lenawee County. Thanks to his efforts, most people getting married in Lenawee County, Michigan, must have some sort of premarital classes. Classes, education in communication skills, and conflict resolution. He convinced most of the clergy and county officials there to require this premarital education. Should a similar community policy be adopted in Wisconsin? Should Wisconsin judges require some sort of premarital education before tying the knot of a couple? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We wonder what you think about this idea. While it's not a law, it is a community policy, and many of the judges and other county officials in Lenawee County, Michigan, have agreed that they won't marry a couple until they get this premarital education. Do you think this is a good idea or not? What questions do you have? We have Erwin in La Crosse with us. I want to get some callers in on this, Judge Sheridan. Erwin, go ahead.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
And good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I think this is just an outstanding idea that you have, and I'm so encouraged that it's working in Michigan, and I think Wisconsin should adopt it. I was married 18 years, and I've been divorced 10 now, and I think the first five I shouldn't have even dated myself after I was divorced. So it takes a lot of work to learn what you've done wrong in the relationship and grow and become healthy again. And I would go on to encourage that there almost should be a time frame before you remarry after your first divorce, because I think your statistics on second marriages divorces are quite high.
And oh, you're absolutely right about that.
And I think that's tends to be that rebound where you're trying to fill that big gap in your life, and you grab onto the first person that comes along. So I'll just take your comments off the air, and I sure encourage what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Joy, his comment was extremely profound. The rebound problem is a major one. The couples and second marriages tend to actually do have a higher divorce rate. It's about 50% higher than in first marriages. And one of the things that we're doing to try to help on that end, since most second marriages tend to involve children, there's a terrific program put out by the Step Family Association of America that teaches skills and information that are peculiar to step families. I'm afraid that the Brady Bunch makes for terrific television, but that has nothing to do with reality.
Thank you very much, Erwin, for the call, and good luck to you. John in Appleton is with us now. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Great show. We're also Catholic, by the way, and we've been married, it'll be 17 years in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I love this program, and I've often said to people, never mind. Here's my question. Do you think that this could work with the same-gender couples? I think that we live in a democratic state, and despite the way the amendment went, we need to give folks of all situations the tools that they need to have successful relationships with or without kids involved.
Yeah, John, you can't, same-sex couples can't marry in Wisconsin. So.
I know, but at least presently.
So why would you ask if it would work with same-sex couples?
I guess I want to see it change. I want to see the law change to allow them to do that.
Yeah, and you want to link that to our conversation that we're having.
Right.
Okay, thanks very much, John. He first said that he supported the idea but really wanted to talk about our gay marriage amendment. Do you have any comments along those lines, Judge Sheridan?
Well, what our group is really interested in heterosexual marriage. We don't even get into the issue of the same-sex issue. Having said that, communication is communication. Conflict resolution is conflict resolution. What's interesting here is that the skills that we teach can be used not only in the home but at the workplace with between clerks and customers. It really has little to do with the basic relationship, but it has to do with interaction between human beings. And but we are primarily interested, obviously, in heterosexual marriages.
Yeah. Next we go to, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Tatiana in Muscadet?
Hi.
Is it, how do you pronounce your first name?
Tatiana.
Tatiana. Good morning.
Hi. This made my hairs just stand up, and I came from one of the largest divorce cases in the state of Wisconsin, so of course I want to see marriages work, but I think it's something that should be started early on, and it should be in your educational system, and it should be free, because great communication starts with your siblings, and then it goes on to your boyfriends, and it goes on through your with your parents. And there are lots of situations where you need to have communication. But to mandate it, to have to go through a series of tests and so on before you can get married is just setting up a situation that feels disastrous for me, because later on, when if it doesn't work out and you are going to get divorced, that stuff could be used against you, whatever your questionnaire was. It brings up private issues that's really nobody's business. And I really disagree that you should do this before marriage. I mean, I don't think you should mandate it.
Okay, there's a couple of premises in your comment that I'm afraid are not quite correct. One of them is about the use of the questionnaire later on. The questionnaire itself is absolutely private. That is not subject to the public. As a matter of fact, the judge never even sees the questionnaire. We're not interested in the questionnaire. What we're interested in is have the two of you talked over a series of issues. I don't get the result of that, and frankly, I'm not interested in it. The questionnaire itself is kept by the counselor, and even the couple doesn't keep a copy of the answers. They wouldn't even be able to use it against each other. It's just not available because it's a snapshot of the relationship at a particular moment in time. And you're absolutely right. It would be incredibly unfair to use that later on. You also commented about the using it, having education earlier. We agree with that completely. This is not, we don't consider this a silver bullet. This is part of a pile of straw that breaks the camel's back. This is only one of the straws. One of the other things we're doing here is to encourage the local school system to teach some of these skills in high school and even as early as ninth grade. There's a terrific program developed by a woman by the name of Shar Camper called Connections that we got a grant from the local Kiwanis Club, the Adrian Kiwanis Club, to put that into some of the schools locally, and of the 11 schools in Lenawee County, school districts in Lenawee County, we have them in about half of them at this point. Part of the federal grant that we just were awarded was to try to get them into the rest of these schools, but the idea is to teach these much earlier. Going into marriage, I agree, is a little bit on the late side, but the idea is to get them these skills being taught as universally and early as possible.
We're talking about premarital education, requiring that before you get married. Do you think that this is a good idea or not? Should it be required? Do you think judges in Wisconsin who perform marriages in Wisconsin should require some sort of proof that the couple went through this premarital education? This is what happens in Lenawee County, Michigan. We are talking with Judge James Sheridan, who is a judge from Lenawee County, Michigan, and he spearheaded an effort there requiring this, or community policy anyway. It's most many judges and other county officials and clergy all agreed to this. It's not a law. It's an agreement. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on about 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. We are talking with Judge James Sheridan. He is Chief Judge of the Two-Way District Court in Lenawee County, Michigan, Chair of Michigan's Marriage Savers Organization, and Chair of Marriages That Work in Lenawee County, Michigan. He has been invited to Wisconsin to talk with judges in Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, and Brown counties this weekend. He was invited by a Wisconsin group called Foundation for a Great Marriage, wanting Judge Sheridan to talk with judges here in Wisconsin about what he did in Lenawee County, Michigan, the effort that he organized and spearheaded. Thanks to his efforts, anyone getting married in Lenawee County, or we should say most people getting married in Lenawee County, must attend premarital classes. Clergy and county officials have agreed to require premarital education in communication skills and conflict resolution, believing that if more couples had this premarital education, it would reduce the divorce rate and the impact of the divorce rate. Steve in Madison is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I think it's, it might be a good idea in practice, but I think the biggest stressor in our marriage is kids. And after you have kids, I just think the dynamics kind of change and get thrown out the window. So I just want to see your comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Children are a fascinating experience, to say the least. We have two. We love them dearly. They're both grown, and of course that changes the formula too. The studies on children indicate that you might say the overall satisfaction with marriage does tend to fall off during the heavy child years that where there's so much investment. However, the issues that we're working with still apply, and the formula that people still need to be able to communicate, they still need to be able to solve problems, still applies, especially when there's children. I might point out, too, that such issues as some skills as to how to maintain your relationship after kids arrived are one of the things that a lot of groups do tend to talk about in their premarital education classes, so that when couples start having kids, that they know what to expect and how to deal with that and still maintain an incredibly healthy marriage, which, of course, is a foundation for what the kids need in the first place.
Yeah. Judge Sheridan, would you say for the most part that people who get married in a church already receive some sort of premarital education?
It's interesting. No, not necessarily. Historically, it has been you just meet with the minister. The minister says, "Now, Mary, you got to love John, and John, you need to love Mary." And John mm-hmm. says, "Well, what does that mean?" "Well, you got to really love her." And but there's really no skills or true education being done. What we're after is getting down to some objective standards, so that we're not interested in becoming anybody's police, but we are interested in trying to get certain skills across. And there's a whole bunch of formats in which this can be done. Right now, I think most church groups are starting to get increasingly sensitive to the need of this. Mike McManus with Marriage Savers, for example, has done a remarkable job. And the fact is that this works. If you take a look at the Marriage Savers cities across the United States, the divorce rate there has fallen since those policies have been put in, have fallen on an average of around 17-18%. The divorce rate itself has been falling off slowly, but it's about 2-3 times as fast in a fall in the Marriage Savers communities.
Yeah. Do you have any comment, Judge Sheridan, on I talked to a guest some time ago, and I don't have all of the statistics in front of me, but the gist of that program was that the divorce rate in the so-called secular blue states was lower than the divorce rate in the more religious red states.
Yeah, I've always found that interesting. And there's a number of articles that I've read on that as to trying to put together cause and effect. There's several things that go into the success of a marriage. Three of them, to give you just an idea, is the age of the couple. Couples that get married younger tend to get divorced more often. The ideal time as far as the success of marriage is concerned is sometimes someplace in the middle, late 20s, 25, 26, 27, around there. The second thing is to education. The higher the education rate, the more successful the chance of the marriage. As a matter of fact, Barbara Defoe Whitehead of Rutgers University has written articles indicating that you're better off to have at least a high school education and preferably at least 2 years of college. The third thing is to make sure that you wait to have children until after you get married. Those are the three big ones. And if you start averaging that out nationally, I have a feeling that what you end up with is it really doesn't matter what state you're in. It has to do with the culture as it relates to those three issues and some other factors, some other variables.
Yeah. You don't have any fear that this, even though it's not a law on the books, if most judges or clergy or officials would agree to this policy in Wisconsin or across the nation for that matter, that this wouldn't discourage people from getting married?
No, the funny thing about that is an excellent question, and we got hit with that, you know, right up, 10 years ago. What we found is that it has not affected that at one little bit. As a matter of fact, the number of marriage licenses has been almost static, if not rising slightly, in Lenawee County. Mm-hmm. No, it has not affected that at all. And I think that this has to do with. Here, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you increase the amount of education people need to get their driver's license, is that going to cut down the number of people that drive?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. And I realize those are all metaphors break down.
Everybody wants to drive, but maybe not everybody wants to get married.
Now hold on a minute. That's an interesting point. If you look at the studies done on the question of who wants to get married, that number, that percentage, it runs about 80%. If you take a look at high school students and ask how many of you would like to get married someday, that number has stayed static for the last 30, 40 years, both boys and girls. And interestingly enough, it drops down a little bit and then came back up. But now it's actually a little bit higher than it was even before. What it amounts to is that, might I suggest this, is that deep down inside, we all recognize that marriage is different. It is not the same, that it is more than a sheet of paper. Here, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me interview you for a moment. In this sense, do you know couples that are living together without being married?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you know a couple that has gotten married?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. The couples that got married, did they have a wedding and a reception? Big party. Lots of people come in.
Yeah.
Okay. The people that just moved in together, did they have a big party with a reception?
Well, not a big party, but there was a come to our apartment. We just moved in together.
Yeah,
in a new
that's
apartment.
Sort of a homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
What it amounts to, I've been to weddings and lots of them. Of course, we all have been. And, you have this tremendous celebration because what it amounts to is we all basically recognize that marriage is a different institution, and living together is not the same thing. And, there's the announcement in the paper. The average wedding today costs around $15,000
to $20,000. Yeah, too much.
Oh, I agree with that, absolutely. And there's about 200 hours of planning for just that one celebration. You don't have anything near that, not even in the same universe, for people moving in together.
We have lots of callers and a little time. Let me get to one or two
sure.
more. David and Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is a very interesting subject, just for the pure fact that I came up yesterday looking at going in a partnership with, in a business partnership, and the amount of work we've been doing for the last 2 months on trying to get this partnership going and talking about everything. I said to him yesterday, I wish I would have done this in my marriage before we got married, because this is incredible on everything you talk about. From day-to-day things to issues large and small on it. And this is going into a business, so which is important as well. But the marriage is way more important.
Yeah.
I try to get people to even talk about which way the toilet paper should come off the roll, toward the wall or away from the wall.
Yeah. Dan in Jefferson, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I really quick just want to say, this is a good idea. And just because of the fact that I agree with it almost seems like all the people I know or heard of get divorced within the first 2 years, because my current marriage that I'm in now, it seemed like the first 2 years was the roughest time. And I just managed to stick with it and been together with my wife for 10 years total and stick with it. And now my third and going into my fourth year of being married, it has just made us stronger. Yeah. And I'm one of them fathers that stepped into a relationship, single mother, raising a daughter. And I guess I'm kind of beating his odds or their statistics.
Yeah, we get it, Dan. Thank you so much for calling. I don't mean to cut you short, but we have less than a minute. Judge Sheridan, a brief concluding comment.
Yeah, one of the primary things here is this, is that there's been a study indicating that every divorce costs the taxpayers about $30,000, in government services. As a elected official, it seems to me that I should be doing things to encourage people to get the education that can be really helpful to not only strengthen their relationship, let them have fun, just enjoy themselves, have a great, joyous marriage, and then also don't cost a lot of extra money to the taxpayers.
Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you enjoy your trip to Wisconsin.
Okay, take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Judge James Sheridan from Lenawee County, Michigan, coming to Wisconsin this weekend to talk about what he's done to reduce the divorce rate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.